This is July 20th, 2023. The present time is 17:14 hours Eastern Daylight Time. This is Ward Green with you. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, said, "Don't rush to help those who haven't asked you to, because not everyone who is drowning needs a hand. Some want to drown." The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, "Temperance is the first step of virtue, which is the beginning of moral perfection." And Mark Twain, "Eat a live frog first thing in the morning, and nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day." Our song for today is from Chicago, from 1976. A wonderful hit song, was in the top five of all the 19 charts on which it is recorded, according to Wikipedia. And of those, it was number one on nine of those charts in the year 1976 and 77, because it was released in the middle of 76. So we have a song written by Peter Cetera. I'm correcting the pronunciation of Peter's name now, which I pronounced incorrectly previously. So Peter Cetera singing "If You Leave Me Now," 1976.
Thank you.
Peter Cetera, If You Leave Me Now, 1976. Now that song, what we just heard, was a live version of that song, which I had never heard before. And it wasn't identical to the single that was released, and which I heard for so many months on the airwaves, and which is emblazoned into my brain from hearing it so many times and from enjoying it that many times. Peter Cetera. I apologize for getting your name wrong previously. There are yet two more witnesses. Now, in our article, Born and Raised, Chapter 2, Paragraph 7, there are yet two more witnesses given by Orosius. Now, Orosius is a very important witness about this event. He was a Christian, and that's why he was interested in these things. But he witnessed and testified and documented a lot of things that were not documented by others at that time when he wrote, which was when he wrote his book. It was published in 1964, the translation of it. But now, Orosius lived some time after the events of Jesus' resurrection and so on. So, I mean, we can look that up again. I think it was even more than 100 years after these events. But Orosius wrote, with regard to the date of the crucifixion, and one witness of which is the death of Sejanus, dated by the writings of Tacitus. Tacitus the Roman, that's how you pronounce a C in Latin, is a hard C, K. Not with Peter Cetera, you pronounce a C like an S. Sejanus is killed by Tiberius. This is the important thing here. For attempting a revolt, but this occurred after Sejanus was, quote, most obstinately, unquote, opposed to the acceptance of Christianity. At the time when the Roman Emperor Tiberius proposes to the Senate to officially deify Christ, which they refuse. Now, obviously, Christ was already resurrected, and that's why there was a desire on the part of Tiberius to deify Christ, because he believed in the resurrection. But they refuse, because they are, Orosius says, not the first to be consulted. Or in other words, they were not consulted before this proposal. These events are thus, after the resurrection of Jesus, as I just noted, in Tacitus, the death of Agrippina, another person who was significant in Roman state affairs, her death is given as falling on the exact day, 2 years after the death of Sejanus. Tacitus, the well-known Roman historian, gave this information. On the exact day, 2 years after the death of Sejanus, Agrippina died. The death of Agrippina is dated from Tacitus as 33 CE. Sejanus dies, therefore, on the same day, which was October 18th, in the year 31, 2 years earlier, in the year 31 CE. Strong piece of evidence. He died on that same day on which Agrippina died, but 2 years earlier, October 18th, 31 CE. Accepting all of this would require a crucifixion date prior to October 18th, 31 CE, meaning that this supports the crucifixion and resurrection having occurred in 30 CE. And we have many reasons why it couldn't have occurred in the year 31 or 29 or any of the other years around that time, based on many other factors, all of which are discussed in this same article that we are reading right now. So we have this information prior, that the crucifixion was prior to October 18th, 31 CE. This means it supports our date of 30 CE and is consistent with 44 CE being the 14th year after Paul's conversion, something we've also been discussing. 44 CE being the year King Herod Agrippa I died. Orosius gives us, this is the final statement of this paragraph, Orosius further gives us the year of crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, dated the 17th year of Tiberius, which, from a year 1 in 14 CE, is now roughly 30 CE. So from that evidence as well. And we do that calculation as follows. 14 plus 17 minus 1, because it's the 17th, which means 16 years plus some. So 14 CE plus 17 years minus 1 equals 30 CE, the crucifixion of Jesus. From the number of years of Jesus' ministry, which we will talk about, we may now determine the year of his baptism by John the Baptist. So the footnotes give the name of the book by Orosius. His first name was Paulus, or Paul. In our language, it would be Paul. And this is more secular evidence, and very strong, very good evidence for the, in our case, we already have other evidence, so it just confirms our date of 30 CE. That's all for today for the Born and Raised article, Little Children. Now, Proverbs 22 and 5 is our proverb for today. Thorns and traps are in the way of the crooked one. He that is guarding his soul keeps far away from them. Sort of like saying, keep it simple, too. That's another idea that could be compared to that proverb. Now, we have finished the book of Acts, so we're interested in doing Numbers. Chapter 19. But no, we did 19. I'm sorry, 20. Of course, it's 20 because it's the 20th of the month. And this is talking about the wilderness of Zin. I definitely prepared this, but we know that the wilderness of Zin is where Kadesh is, according to this very verse. It says the people took up dwelling in Kadesh. We've also seen the wilderness of Paran is also where Kadesh is. So there's more than one wilderness. Maybe some of them are larger than others, and one wilderness is contained within another one. But we're learning more about the land of the wilderness in which Israel lived. And the sons of Israel, the entire assembly, proceeded to come into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people took up dwelling in Kadesh. It was there that Miriam died, and there that she was buried. Now there proved to be no water for the assembly, and they began to congregate themselves against Moses and Aaron. And the people went quarreling with Moses and saying, if only we had expired when our brothers expired before Jehovah. And why have you men brought Jehovah's congregation into this wilderness for us and our beasts of burden to die there? And why have you conducted us up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed and figs and vines and pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron came from before the congregation to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell upon their faces, which means, of course, bowing down onto the ground. And Jehovah's glory began to appear to them. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and call the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother. And you must speak to the crag before their eyes. That's a piece of rock, right? A large rock. A crag of rock in the cliff. And you must speak to the crag before their eyes, and it may indeed give its water. That it may indeed give its water. And you must bring out water for them from the crag and give the assembly and their beasts of burden drink. So Moses took the rod from before Jehovah, just as he had commanded him. After that, Moses and Aaron called the congregation together before the crag, and he proceeded to say to them, "Hear now, you rebels, is it from this crag that we shall bring out water for you?" With that, Moses lifted his hand up and struck the crag with his rod twice, and much water began to come out, and the assembly and their beasts of burden began to drink. Later Jehovah said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not show faith in me to sanctify me before the eyes of the sons of Israel, therefore you will not bring this congregation into the land that I shall certainly give them. These are the waters of Meribah. Because the sons of Israel quarreled with Jehovah, so that he was sanctified among them." Now we know there was a previous occasion upon which there was a quarreling, and it was called also, it was called also the waters of Meribah, but it was not near Kadesh, it was something else. It was near Rephidim. If you research the stages of the journey, and that's from Exodus 17. Those waters of Meribah. Subsequently, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. "This is what your brother Israel has said. You yourself well know all the hardship that has overtaken us. And our fathers proceeded to go down to Egypt. Jacob was the brother of Esau, and Esau was living in Edom. And we continued to dwell in Egypt many days, and the Egyptians began doing harm to us and our fathers. Finally, we cried out to Jehovah, and he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city at the extremity of your territory." Well, that's interesting. That's part of Kadesh. "Let us pass, please, through your land." You see, Kadesh is pretty far west of Edom. I mean, it's not just 2 miles or something. It's a lot further than that. "Let us pass, please, through your land. We shall not pass through a field or a vineyard, and we shall not drink the water of a well. On the king's road we shall march. We shall not bend toward the right or the left until we shall pass through your territory." However, Edom said to him, "You must not pass through me, for fear I may come out with the sword to meet you." In turn, the sons of Israel said to him, "By the highway we shall go up. And if I and my livestock should drink your water, I shall also certainly give the value of it. I want nothing more than to pass through on my feet." Still, he said, "You must not pass through." With that, Edom came on out to encounter him with a great many people and a strong hand. So Edom refused to grant Israel to pass through his territory. Hence Israel turned away from him. And the sons of Israel, the entire assembly, proceeded to pull away from Kadesh and come to Mount Hor. So they had sent somebody out to ask Edom before they moved the whole assembly. Then the entire assembly came to Mount Hor, which is near Edom. But it's not Edom. Then Jehovah said this, slightly south. Then Jehovah said this to Moses, at least I believe it's south. I suppose it could be north, but it's not east or west so much. And I believe it's south. So then Jehovah said this to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom. So Edom's bordering on Mount Hor. We'd have to look at a map to see whether it was north or south. Aaron will be gathered to his people, Jehovah said, for he will not enter into the land that I shall certainly give to the sons of Israel on the ground that you men rebelled against my order respecting the waters of Meribah. So those waters of Meribah, which they just encountered in Kadesh, take, or the waters of quarreling, in other words, take, or murmuring, take Aaron, Jehovah said, and Eleazar his son, and bring them up into Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and you must clothe with them Eleazar his son, and Aaron will be gathered and must die there. So Moses did just as Jehovah had commanded, and before the eyes of all the assembly they went climbing Mount Hor. Then Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and clothed Eleazar his son with them, after which Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came on down from the mountain, and all the assembly got to see that Aaron had expired. And all the house of Israel continued weeping for Aaron 30 days. So we've got about 10 minutes or a little more remaining. That's the end of our study of the book of Numbers, little children. I think we'll read from a book we haven't yet touched on in the particular chapter that I want to read, which is chapter 1 of Luke. We haven't read that yet together. We know it's important that Zechariah served in the division of Abijah because we know which priest was serving at the time in 70 CE when Jerusalem was destroyed, because it tells us in the scriptures, and we can calculate back from that point. Let me think. No, wait a minute. It's not in the scriptures, because the scriptures don't go until 70 CE, do they? Don't think so. So it's not in the scriptures where we read about that. But it's from the Jewish sources that we have. We know who the priest was at the time that Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, this is not written about in the article. It's not. I haven't written an article on this yet, but it was something I learned after I wrote the article, Born and Raised. But because we know who the priest was, or are fairly certain, we can calculate from the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE backwards. And the Bible does tell us one thing, very importantly, which is the order of the priests and the service of the priests in that order by name of the different divisions of priests who served at the temple. So we can calculate back and determine who was serving at the time of the birth of Jesus. And depending on when the birth of Jesus is, we will either arrive at the division of Abijah, as seen here, or we will not arrive at the division of Abijah. So we can determine the birth date of Christ using the information that we have about the divisions of priests who served at the temple. That's why this chapter is also very important, because of that verse 5 mention of the division of Abijah. According to Luke, whereas many have undertaken to compile a statement of the facts that are given full credence among us, just as those who from the beginning became eyewitnesses and attendants of the message delivered these to us, I resolved also, because I have traced all things from the start with accuracy, to write them in logical order to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know fully the certainty of the things that you have been taught orally. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there happened to be a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They both were righteous before God because of walking blamelessly in accord with all the commandments and legal requirements of Jehovah. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well along in years. Now he was acting as priest in the assignment of his division before God, according to the solemn practice of the priestly office. Now, as he was acting as priest, according to the solemn practice of his priestly office, it became his turn to offer incense when he entered into the sanctuary of Jehovah, and all the multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of offering incense. To him Jehovah's angel appeared, standing at the right side of the incense altar. But Zechariah became troubled at the sight, and fear fell upon him. However, the angel said to him, "Have no fear, Zechariah, because your supplication has been favorably heard, and your wife Elizabeth will become mother to a son to you, and you are to call his name John. And you will have great," no, it doesn't say great, "and you will have joy and great gladness. And many will rejoice over his birth, for he will be great before Jehovah. But he must drink no wine and strong drink at all. And he will be filled with Holy Spirit right from his mother's womb. And many of the sons of Israel will he turn back to Jehovah their God. Also, he will go before him with Elijah's spirit and power to turn back the hearts of fathers to children and the disobedient ones to the practical wisdom of righteous ones, to get ready for Jehovah a prepared people." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How am I to be sure of this? For I am aged, and my wife is well along in years." In reply, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands near before God, and I was sent forth to speak with you and declare the good news of these things to you. But look, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people continued waiting for Zechariah, and they began to wonder at his delaying in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was not able to speak to them, and they perceived that he had just seen a supernatural sight in the sanctuary. And he kept making signs to them, but remained dumb. In other words, he couldn't speak. When now the days of his public service were fulfilled, he went off to his home. But after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself secluded for 5 months, saying, "This is the way Jehovah has dealt with me in these days, when he has given me his attention to take away my reproach among men." In her sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. I was going to say a city of Nazareth, but there's no such... It's a city called Nazareth, of Galilee, to a virgin promised in marriage to a man named Joseph of David's house. And the name of the virgin was Mary. And when he went in before her, he said, "Good day, highly favored one. Jehovah is with you." But she was deeply disturbed at the saying and began to reason out what sort of greeting this might be. So the angel said to her, "Have no fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And look, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. This one will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and Jehovah God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule as king over the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end of his kingdom." But Mary said to the angel, "How is this to be, since I am having no intercourse with a man?" In answer, the angel said to her, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also, what is born will be called holy, God's Son. And look, Elizabeth, your relative, has also herself conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, the so-called barren woman, because with God no declaration will be an impossibility." Then Mary said, "Look, Jehovah's slave girl, may it take place with me according to your declaration." At that, the angel departed from her. So Mary rose in these days and went into the mountainous country with haste to a city of Judea, and she entered into the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Well, as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the infant in her womb leapt. Or leaped, but I think leapt is as good a pronunciation as any there. And Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit, and she called out with a loud cry and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So how is it that this privilege is mine to have the mother of my Lord come to me? For look, as the sound of your greeting fell upon my ears, the infant in my womb leapt with great gladness. Happy too is she that believed, because there will be a complete performance of those things spoken to her from Jehovah. So those things that were spoken to Mary, and Mary believed them. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies Jehovah, and my spirit cannot keep from being overjoyed at God my Savior, because he has looked upon the low position of his slave girl. For look, from now on, all generations will pronounce me happy, because the powerful one has done great deeds for me, and holy is his name. And for generations after generations, his mercy is upon those who fear him. He has performed mightily with his arm. He has scattered abroad those who are haughty in the intentions of their hearts. He has brought down men of power from thrones and exalted lowly ones. He has fully satisfied hungry ones with good things, and he has sent away empty those who had wealth. He has come to the aid of Israel, his servant, to call to mind mercy, just as he told to our forefathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Then Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her own home. Our study has now come to a conclusion at that point, after verse 56 of Luke chapter 1, little children. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I love you. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Today, once again, is July 20th, 2023. The time is 1747 Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and on my behalf, this is Crow. And Star saying bye for now.